Hey everybody, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. We're in East Iris Studios Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm with Chris Donegan. Hey.
Hi everybody.
Chris, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, John.
First time we met, although I've heard your stuff plenty, as everybody has.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the whole session thing. Nobody knows you, everybody hears you.
I like the anonymity of being able to walk down the street.
Yeah, totally. So tell me about this sexy 335. It looks familiar.
This 335 is familiar to the show. This was Tom Bukovec's Rig Rundown 335 round about 2020.
Yeah.
And a few months later, it belonged to me.
Yeah. High turnover with that guy.
Well, yeah. This one I do feel like he kept for a while, but the burst era got him.
Yeah, God, isn't that it, man? When there's a few other guys I know that when they decide to do that, they're just all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he didn't have a 335 for years, which was strange for him.
Yeah.
He was our Mr. 335 for a long time.
Yeah, he is.
Right? Yeah, he's our version of it.
There's two of them in town.
That's
he's the one we see.
All right. Yeah. Oh, I forgot Larry lives here. My apologies.
Well, cool, man.
I mean,
okay. So tell for the people that have not seen it, and for you watching, you should probably watch Tom's because it's very engaging.
That's right. 1958, one of the first 40 ever made.
Wow.
You can tell by the unbound neck, the differently shaped. They weren't quite Mickey Mouse yet, right? They're a little pointier and smaller. 3-ply thin top, which they changed to 4-ply because they all cracked right here.
Yeah.
So early, super low neck angle, early everything.
Yeah.
Pots are changed, headstock break, everything else is original.
Fabulous. Yeah. What sounds good. What I really liked, you're doing that play-in. You're so quiet, and it's only coming through that tiny little hole.
We just hear the hole in the wall.
I swear you could hear that guitar acoustically.
Yes.
And it just got it. Just
it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is gorgeous.
When I bought this guitar, I was like, okay, if that guitar sounds bad, it's my fault.
It
was like, okay, I have to rise to the level of this instrument because it's only going to give whatever I put into it.
Chris, isn't that it, man? Like sometimes I think that's what intimidates me about my best gear.
Yeah.
Because it's all on me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. At a certain point.
Yeah, it's pilot air. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the arrow, it's the Indian or whatever.
Yeah, right. So,
that's a good one.
Tell me about it. On most sessions, do you start on that one or just see where it goes?
Man, it depends.
Yeah.
Like today, I didn't play it at all. It was just more of a single coil kind of day. And so it's a choice.
Yeah.
But there are certain rooms, certain people that I work for that I'll absolutely start right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you live on one pickup more than the other?
No.
Both equally.
I don't like to buy a guitar where I can't use all the pickups.
Yeah. Right.
Because there are some, they're like, that's a great bridge pickup and the neck doesn't do it or vice versa or whatever. I don't.
Yeah.
So this has very, very musical, wonderful pickups, and I'll just kind of rock and roll until I find what I'm after.
Yeah, even the blend of the two, man.
Yeah.
So 335s are just so versatile.
Yeah, this is an incredible instrument. You can go a long way.
Yeah.
It'll rock, it'll be gentle. Do you want to hear it?
Yes. Yeah.
Like it's a pretty good one, man.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Okay. Well, that's going to be hard to beat, but let's look over here and see what. Let me roadie for you. What can I hand you?
How about that Les Paul Special?
Ooh, yeah, this old thing.
We'll go in reverse order from homies to singles here.
Let me gingerly put this back.
We're getting the Bukovec purchases out of the way.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I'm not going to spend the whole time talking about Tom.
Yeah.
But for a year, I was like, hey, if you find a special, let me know.
Yeah.
And he texted me I don't know, Thanksgiving last year, and he goes, I got your special at the house.
Oh, really?
I said, okay. I was,
and that was the whole deal.
That was the whole deal.
Did you ask the price?
No. I mean, I kind of knew what I was looking at, but he goes, I got your special at the house. And I said, well, I have one of my kids with me.
Yeah.
I'll see you in an hour.
Yeah.
And we drove straight there, and we had chicken soup that he made.
Oh, great.
And then I left with his guitar, and it was the same, like, just check it out for a couple days.
Yeah.
Pay me when you like it.
Yeah, it's like the pusher that gives you that first
That's
hit
right.
for free.
pay me when you like it. And his stipulation with me has always been pay me all at once and pay me in cash, which is...
Reasonable terms
and yeah. a lot of fun to do.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
And see, it's got the stud finder.
It's got the Music City stud finder.
What a difference that makes, you know?
It's, dude, it is a night and day difference. And yeah. Nick, sweet Nick Druschel, put this on there. I got new bushings because there was just a bit of lean.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how they, yeah. like, time just starts?
Yeah.
Like the Leaning Tower, man.
And the lean, as it turns out, was just... the thread tolerance.
Oh, really?
Wasn't they were straight, but the threads were so kind of messed up in here that it was yeah. that it was leaning forward and just sitaring a little bit. So he sorted that out. This one, except for the tuners and the bridge, which are in the case, is yeah. all straight.
Oh, that's great. 70-year-old guitar,
1957.
Yeah.
It's mean.
Oh, God, yeah.
But
sounds
it's,
great.
It's got a... It's got a real smoky neck pickup.
Yeah.
It's a good one, man.
Beautiful, man. And that TV white, so cool. Not a lot of those, so many have been painted over or stripped. It's rarely you find that.
This one survived and it's in really good shape. The tuners are original. It's just the buttons. Even better.
There we go. Even better.
And it has, you know, like everybody knows probably by now that you got to foam the bridge pickup and get them up there.
Yeah.
There were no springs. There was no adjustment. They were just screwed into the body.
Yeah. Which I think is really part of it, you know?
Yeah. And so we just jammed some road case foam under there and put a longer screw and
yeah.
we're good to go.
Perfect. Okay, that's all right.
Also, Chris, also a great guitar.
Yeah, very sexy guitars.
Yes.
Okay, what's next?
Do
you have anything less sexy?
unfortunately not.
Yeah. Regrettably, they're all super sexy.
Yeah. I don't deal in unsexy guitars. How about that Tele?
Sure.
I did not buy this from Tom. I bought this on my own, but I did make Rob McNally come to Carter Vintage and double check my work.
Oh, good.
I found it and I was like, Rob, will you go with me? I've been having a sort of a Tele, like a crisis of personality. I didn't know what I needed a Tele to be.
Yeah.
And after so many phone calls, Rob goes, just come to the house.
Yeah.
So I went to the house and he sent me out the door with a 58.
And said, just, this is the gold standard.
Just play it for a while and call me back. And yeah. then I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I don't have...
Yeah.
All the Teles I have are not the Tele. And so I went shopping for a year.
Okay, so what is the story on this?
This guy? One, it's 1967.
Oh, cool.
You'll notice.
Right?
What's that?
Are they the smuggler?
No, not this one.
Really?
And this one's under 7 pounds. It's really light.
Wow.
No routes.
Wow.
The first thing I did was ask to pull the pickguard off because I was like, there's no way it's that light.
Yeah.
And it really is. Music City Bridge saddles.
Sure.
The 3-tree, because in 67, they changed to these F tuners, right? When CBS bought Fender.
They're all about the branding.
The branding was the thing, right?
Yeah.
So we want to put branded tuners, branded neck plate, big giant ass logo on the front. And,
yeah.
And when they switched to these tuners, they were splitting the headstocks. And so they made them thicker. And the byproduct of that is that there's not as much break angle. And so a sitar unless you can get the strings, like I wind them all the way down, and then the G string is still a nightmare.
Wow, isn't that something? I mean, like a big company like that, they change course like a giant ship. It moves really slowly. So there can be a fundamental error, and it just takes a long time.
Right.
For them to fix it.
Right. And their solution here was just make it thicker.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like, let's go back to the tuners that worked for 15 years.
Yeah.
It was like, now we got to have the F logo on the back for whatever reason. It's mean.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's great.
But it will also, like, it'll Steve Cropper.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, it's funny. Like, when I moved to Nashville, they would not let you across the border without a Telecaster, you know? And now, I mean, everybody's got one, but you don't, it's not like it was.
I had tellies that I didn't like for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I was fine.
Yeah.
But when there was a moment where it's like, all right, we really have, like, you have to have a telly that does the telly, I'd always feel like, man, why am I fighting it? I'm EQing and I'm doing all this. Like, I'm fighting so hard to get a sound. And I didn't understand for a long time kind of the frequency range that I wanted the telly to sit in.
Yeah.
It's like I had kind of like rock and roll tellies or like tellies that were scoopy and felt stratty. And this one has a higher aggressive mid-range than I would have probably picked on my own. And a clarity to the low strings. And you kind of have to have both. You have to have both of those things or it doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Now I have one.
You know, Glazer, he maintains that for a telly to really be set up right, it's got to be a little hard to play.
Interesting.
Like, yeah. Like he puts the action up a little bit higher. And,
yeah.
And he's like, no, that's the sweet spot.
I go the other way.
Really?
I lower it until it just, like you can hear it just just barely rattling.
Go with it.
When I'm barely touching it.
Yeah.
And I feel like all my Fenders, I like them to be that way.
Yeah.
I like a little bit of rattle.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it's great. It's whatever works.
I wouldn't
fight Joe on anything.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, Joe's like maybe the smartest guy I know.
When I brought this in there, he went, you paid how much for that?
Oh, really?
He's just baffled by
by
what all these things cost now.
Yeah, it is crazy.
So I caught a little flack from him. Which I accepted.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Okay. What do we got? What's next?
Oh, let's see. There's a...
You got a Gretsch, you got a black, and you got a kind of a pink.
Yeah, let's... give me that pink one.
Okay. I recognize that sawed-off headstock.
Prerequisite Jeff Sin.
Boy, a guy makes some great guitars,
doesn't he? He sure does. I don't think he loved that I asked this, but I was like, look, I have another Strat that I like, but I want... A humbucker in the bridge. I was a Strat kid growing up, right?
Sure.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh yeah, man.
On Austin City Limits, and it ruined my life.
Sure.
That was my Ed Sullivan, and I also love the Strat as like a hot rodding platform.
Oh yeah.
Like I would take mine apart when I was a kid in my bedroom, put it all back together, and just destroy it. And so I was like, I want another one. I need a humbucker. I want to be able to turn the neck pickup on and split it. I just want like a little bit of a, it's not quite an 80s guitar, but it.
But it's got that hot roddy kind of.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, kind of like Dan Huff's thing.
Yeah.
And Luke and those.
Right. Years. It's just the spirit of like, okay, if I need something that will. Like it'll do that.
Yeah, that's great.
And it will fire breathe. You know?
Jeff built it. I asked him to do all this. He was happy to do it. This is a Seymour Duncan JB from the 80s.
Oh, cool.
And these are DiMarzio. They're like stacked. The blue, they have blues in the name. I don't remember what they are.
Larry, if you're watching, Larry, if you're watching, if you could put in the comments.
Maybe the Heavy Blues 2, does that sound right?
Yeah, it sounds right.
That seems right. Yeah. But it's a, I wouldn't think that stacked single coils would sound stratty.
Oh, God, they're.
But these are incredible.
Yeah, those are great.
I was like, oh, this is more stratty than the other Strat that I have. That one's sort of meatier and mid-rangier.
Right, without that 60 cycle thing.
Yeah, that's right. It's quiet, like. Yeah. Anywhere.
And I like you put the 80s JV in there.
That's like, well, if I'm going to do it, I want to have the right one.
Yeah, right.
I want to have
right,
the right, yeah, like, yeah. And it's, you know, this and this is a pretty,
the boogie. Oh,
it's
yeah,
a pretty heavy tone.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know, man.
That's it. Chris, I love it, man.
It's a great guitar. Shell pink,
too. You know what I like it too? Yeah, I like that it is a hot rod, but it's got the subtle traditional.
That's right. Thing. I was like, I want it to be hot rodded, but I'm not going. I don't want to have a Floyd because I don't want to fuck with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Respectfully.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't ever want to change strings on a Floyd Rose.
Oh, ever. Yeah. Last time I did it was the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Should we look at
explanatory.
It's Evil
yes,
Twin?
Yes, it's Evil Twin. I made this myself. I say I made it. I bought the parts and I put it all... Put it all together.
Yeah, I love it.
And it sort of functions. I'm a Ry Cooter fan.
Sure.
Let's see if it's in tune. I haven't played it in a long time. So it functions as just a regular old slide guitar if I want that sort of thing. And then I put these Duesenberg benders on it. These are, you could, there was a minute where you could buy the benders
without getting the hole
by themselves, yeah, because I couldn't find. I honestly did it because I could not find one of the benders. So I just bought these and I slapped it on here, and it's like there's a. So you screw this onto the face with a couple screws, and then there's a. I don't know what it is. It's some sort of bracket that holds it on the back. It feels like it's going to come apart at any moment, but so far,
so good.
Yeah, exactly. So far, so good.
Good. And you got the D&G?
It's open.
Or D and, or,
yeah, I have it open. It's an open E.
Yeah, cool.
And so this is a whole step, and this is a half step. So it's like the 1-2 pedal.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's cool.
And I was like, oh, there's some fake steel. There are plenty of days where I wish I had full step here and a full step here in standard tuning.
Yeah.
Enough to probably warrant getting another one.
Yeah.
But this kind of.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that great?
Like you can do that, or you can.
That's great.
Or I can, space it out and.
Oh, yeah. Chris, that's great, man.
It's a good tool when there's no steel player.
Yeah. A little bit of a learning curve for me on those palm benders.
Yeah. Well,
like they never...
Did you hear me miss the release there at the very end?
No, I was in... Like I thought it was not great.
The half-step, whole-step thing is a little...
Yeah.
It's a little touchy. Like, you have to move your wrist just so.
Right, right. Yeah.
Not every slide is a good one, and not every bend is a good one.
Yeah, but you're never wrong till your left hand stops.
That's right. Never out of tune until you stop wiggling it.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's cool. Now, let's see. You got a Gretsch here. Should we look at that guy just for funsies?
Just for funsies. There's a modern.
Yeah, look at this.
That's a Brian Setzer.
That dude is so great.
He's so great. The Smoke. This is the whatever that is. I think it's a copy of one of his 59s.
Yeah.
And man, it stays in tune.
Oh, fabulous.
And the binding is still on it.
Yeah, for now.
For now. And so, you know, like I would love to have an old one, but this works.
Oh, yeah. The new ones are so great. I don't know if I trust the old ones.
Yeah.
Because they do, they just kind of disintegrate.
They do, they disintegrate. And it's like, even if you buy one that's in good condition today, there's no telling what it'll be like. Yeah. So at the moment, I've chosen
the modern. Oh, yeah, that's dreamy, man. Yeah, that's great.
It's a texture guitar. It's for those sorts of parts. And
yeah.
But it will rock if you need it to.
Isn't that the thing, man? You really... Like whenever you show up at a session without all the stuff, don't you just you will miss the one you don't have?
Yeah, and you can, you know, you can cover so much similar territory with similar things, right? Yeah. Like you can EQ the neck pickup of that 335 to be close, but there's none of this,
right?
You know, like there's so much, and the mud switch, like having the. Can't remember which way. These switches are backwards from every other one.
Oh, really?
And I think it was wired that his was wired that way from the factory. Huh. And so these are backwards, and it still trips me up.
Like, yeah, I can't even guess.
I think this is. Like the mud switch is a thing that nothing else does. Yes.
And don't you find that when you bring stuff like that, just. Like the artists you're playing with, they love it.
I mean, when they
see a weird guitar.
That's right.
Like just having that weird guitar kind of makes it like, oh, I got the right guy.
And it's a good tool for breaking out of a bit of a rut. Or if you're kind of like, oh, I don't know, you can, like, there's this. I've got an old Harmony over there. I've got some things in the rack over there that also serve that same function of like, I don't know. It's not a Strat. It's not a Tele. It's not a Les Paul.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
And even if that guitar gets used once every 6 months, it's worth having.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I use this a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Sure. While we're talking about stuff, what strings are you running?
D'Addario's on everything.
Really? The NY?
No, I actually don't like the NYXLs.
Really?
And I think I might
be the only one.
They have a higher mid-range thing that I hear in this context that I don't like.
See, there's some good ears, man.
Well, it's just headphones all the time. And they're a little louder, I feel like. Whatever the makeup is, it's like they kind of hit the amp a little harder.
Yeah.
So for me... Still the regular whatever, I guess they're just XLs, not NYXLs. Yeah. This guitar has 11s. Most everything else gets 10s. I'm trying to think if there are any special cases. 10s, 11s. If a guitar doesn't feel right with 10s, I'll experiment. And then once it feels right, I just leave it alone.
Yeah. And picks, what do you do for that?
Dude, I have a pile of picks.
Right.
Right now I'm holding
the tried and true
Ultec 73.
Yeah.
I do love a Fender medium for the most part. If I'm tuning down or if I'm doing a rhythm pass where I'm kind of smacking, I'll use the Tortex 60s, the orange, cause they give and they don't drive the guitar sharp. I also am a big fan of the James Hetfield Black Fang, the 1.14. That is an incredible pick.
Didn't see that one coming.
And it's also Ultex, but it sounds different. I don't know. Something about it's colored black, and these are just the whatever this clear sort of translucent material.
There's none more blacker. Yeah.
There is something about that pick. Jerry Rowe gave me one of those picks, and I spent
years playing only that guitar pick for a long time.
Really?
And yeah, now I'm kind of back to mediums, forcing myself to trend lighter on the touch.
Yeah. Yeah, you really lean in with those guys.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier. Well, it seems backwards. I'm trending lighter and going smaller picks, but it's a lot easier to sort of overdrive the guitar with a pick that heavy.
Yeah. 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 And what slides? What do you have a ton of them, or
yeah? I mean, don't we all have a million? And then
decide on the song during the song.
Literally, whatever's closest. I think what's in my bag right now are a couple of Dunlop, like whatever the Pyrex. Like a slide is a thing that I want to be able to go to Guitar Center and buy another one because I've broken so many.
Oh yeah.
So I don't.
You can't get too attached to them.
Like I have Coarse Eden bottles. Like I have all those kinds, and I just.
Yeah, I don't have any that are anymore.
Yeah, just give me a glass bottle that I can shatter and then go get another one at lunch.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And
that's
what I want. That's what I have.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Hey, well, tell me about these amps. Let's talk that. What guitar do you want for a little ride down amp?
Man, land? I'll take that special. I've been enjoying that.
I had hoped.
Yes.
I just wanted to pick this thing up again.
It just feels like an old friend. Sure is a great one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I should mention a Fallen Soldier. There's normally a matchless C30 that sits up here. And it is with Jeff Heim getting a little bit of love.
Good.
Which happens.
100,000 miles.
That's right.
Tune-up.
It's from the early 90s. And so it was time.
Yeah.
You know, just needed a little love.
Sure.
Down the rack, 1963 Fender Bassman.
Did you do anything to it, or it's still kind of?
No, that is. I mean, they've all had, like, if they need filter caps or if they need, I'm not precious about that, except for if it's a transformer. I don't like replacement transformers. If I have to have a transformer replaced, that amp is.
It's
dead to me. Like it totally is.
That's for sale.
It is, yeah. So this one's had filter caps and it's been gone through and it's healthy. And then if it goes down, whatever it needs, short of a transformer, I'm happy with.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you what's been changed other than to say there's been no mods. It is as it was intended to be. This old Silvertone 1484.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is cool. And it's a kind of like, the tremolo's awesome. And it's like a more muscular bassman in a weird way.
Wow.
I
didn't expect that.
I'll use this amp for like baritone if I want it to be punchy or if I've gone through everything else and we're just still looking for a sound, I'll try that. And sometimes it works and sometimes it's a clone into a direct box, and it's like whatever works is whatever works. I like that amp enough to keep it around. This is a Mesa Boogie DC5.
Looks like an old friend.
It is an old friend, but I bought it from everybody's favorite drummer, Jerry Rowe. And I don't think it's like, it's not a Mark III and it's not a dual rec, but it's like, it's a great amp.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting that Smile EQ seems to be what everybody does.
And this one, it's like there's a clean channel, and you pull for crunch, and then you can hit the lead channel, and you can hit it with no EQ or with the EQ, and that is kind of the whole thing for that heavy channel. It's like how much, like this, all this is gain, and so you're kind of like tweaking what the gain signal sees, and then you're shaping it on the other side. I hope that's right. Somebody's going to correct me if it's
not. Yeah.
I think that's right. That's my understanding of it anyway, but I'm about to find out. And that it's like these knobs don't feel like they do near as much as these knobs when you get into that sort of gained up territory. And so this is, I haven't heard it today, so I don't know what it sounds like. But it's probably pretty awesome. And this is a 66, maybe 67, 50 watt lead head.
Cool.
And it's been through it. And the guys at Todd Sharp's place at Nashville Amp said that it is some sort of early sort of transition from a JTM 45 to a 50. And all I know is that I love it.
Yeah, that's great. So what do you think you spend the most time on?
I probably spend the most time bouncing back and forth between the Marshall and the Fender. And then I also have a really great deluxe reverb back there in the booth if I want a combo amp sound, or if I want the world's greatest reverb.
Right.
In the amp, you know?
And everything else is run into that. Is it a 412?
There's a 212. It's like one of those Bogner
oversized
212s. And it's got Celestion G12 65s in it. I tried every other speaker on the planet, because every time I would ask somebody, what do you use? They would say, it's G12 65s. Yeah. I had this little bit of a, like, contrarian in me that goes, well, if everybody's using that, then I'm going to do my own.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to do my own thing. And so this whole rig is the result of me doing everything else and finally going, okay,
I surrender.
I'll just get a Bassman, and I'll get a Marshall, and I'll get a... as it turns out, it's like every time I do that, I go, oh, I sound better. it works better. Or you can put the mic anywhere and it's all good.
Yeah.
So I've kind of like come to this rig in the most skeptical way.
Sure. And the and the switcher there?
The Kahayan, this was the part of this rack that I almost didn't do. I was like, man, I don't know if I want to spend $1,000 on a switcher and pay somebody to have it wired.
Right.
And it's my favorite part of this rack. Because literally they're all on, and I just go like this.
Yeah, that is.
And so
that is pretty pimp when you just roll.
I can just reach over and go. It's the bar. Like if there was a bar in between the verse and the chorus, I could switch heads and have half a bar to spare.
I bet you have.
I have. it's not like they make a MIDI version. Which would, you know, like if I had a switcher and I could have the whole thing dialed underfoot. But I don't love that in the studio.
Yeah.
Which we can talk about as we segue to.
Okay, that was a perfect little segue.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to take your segue
I loved it. Did me a favor. Okay, so XTS did this for you,
of course. Shout out to Barry and the boys.
Oh, those guys are great.
I've known Barry since high school.
No kidding.
Yeah, Barry and I were kids together. Yeah, before any of this.
And so when did he start doing your stuff?
I did. Were you like a DIY guy when you were younger? Like, did you do your own boards?
Yeah, only because I didn't have any money.
I didn't have any. I didn't have any money.
I didn't want. I'm not good at it. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, I didn't have any money, and I really liked the idea of getting super inside and building the board and doing all the like. And so I did my own boards for years and years and years for tours and everything else, and it just got to a point where I was like, tired of this breaking.
Yeah,
I'm tired of encountering a strange noise at soundstage that doesn't happen at Ocean Way. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
and so I probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I just gave up and went, all right, I'm going to have Barry
all in.
Just build them. And the great part about it is that if something breaks, it's his problem now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't have to, like, I can just, and he would say, look, if it breaks, it's... Call us, and he'll do a flyby because they're just right over there.
He'll
fix it.
So let's tell me through the whole thing. Yeah. Boot to bonnet.
So we come in
to their magic.
Come into their magic box, which has it's a sort of standard like.
Yeah, I've got one. I don't really know entirely what it does.
There's an input. There's spare power in case I want to drop a overdrive pedal or a fuzz or something out here. There's a send and return that is in the middle of the board, so you can put another overdrive or a modulation if somebody brings a thing they want you to use. You can drop it in the middle.
It's cool that they allow you to add. Mm-hmm. You know, they know we're going to change it.
Right, and it's not
it's locked down, but it's not so locked down. And then if you bring a reverb pedal, you just throw it at the end on the output. It's a dual mono. It's not stereo.
What is the first pedal after the volume?
Well, the first pedal, I hit the interface, and then I hit this Basic Audio Scarab Deluxe.
Oh, let's hear that.
Then. Which...
Isn't that rude, just kind of fugly.
Like, and I have it set pretty rude. It'll be cleaner, but it'll also there's this bias knob that will kind of get it in the territory of a ZVEX Fuzz Factory, but repeatable.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I know. I that is that like sounds like your amp's blowing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a wonderful way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Out of the Scarab. I'm doing this from memory. Out of the Scarab, I think I hit this compressor, which is just basically a Dynacomp,
sure.
I think. And it sounds like a Dynacomp.
Yeah, super subtle.
Super subtle. I honestly wouldn't use it with this.
More of a Tele.
Yeah, more of a Tele thing, or with a Strat, or like if I borrow a Rickenbacker, like I would use it as just a way to sort of bring the signal up a little bit to the amp and fatten it if it's a little skinny, and if I'm not going to turn the amp up a little bit.
Dynacompy. That.
Yeah, I mean it's.
Yeah, I heard that Mike Campbell. Always has a Dynacomp on.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah, it would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wouldn't
anyway,
that...
side note.
So, no, that's a beautiful side note. Now I got to go find that. And so the end of that, we go into this JHS Nauticlon.
Hey, what is that thing? Nauticlon.
It's...
we know what it's not.
he did this thing where it was like an IKEA spoof.
Yeah.
Where he sent it to you in pieces and you put it together yourself.
Oh, really?
And the manual looks like an IKEA manual. And it's like the circuit board, you break it out and it turns into little wrenches that you use to put the pots on. And
wow.
And there's a tube of goop. And you
that?
Goop, yes. It was like $99. And I was like, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
And you goop your own circuit and you do the whole thing. And then it ends up being like I've got several different clones.
And yeah. Have you built a few of these?
Yeah, I have one of these on every board I have
One different?
No,
it's oh, really?
That like.
I would think with the gloop and stuff on, there might be some.
No, like I feel like that's a very consistent sort of, like when I step on that pedal, it sounds like that pedal. I have three of them.
Okay, let's hear that thing.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's a. Right?
How do you compare that to, like, say, a Klon?
Well, I have never compared it to a Klon, but I have compared it to several clones because I went through a, like, oh, I should figure out the Klon that I like to have.
As we do.
Right. Yeah. And this one seems to have... Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but a lot of them can be sort of nasally and hit me as a little harsher bright. And this, I don't know, the frequency range seems a little maybe lower. Maybe that was intentional, maybe it wasn't. Yeah. But it feels a little fatter and it feels good under my fingers. So for whatever reason, the half a dozen that I went through, that's the one that I like.
Yeah. Sounds fabulous.
And you can build one for yourself right
now.
Oh,
I will not.
You literally,
thank you.
No, you literally just plug it in.
Oh, God.
Like, there's no soldering.
I
there's
know.
No nothing. You just plug it in. It's idiot proof.
I just hate doing that
you
stuff.
You could do it.
You
could do it.
It's the kind of thing where I'd throw it across the room.
That's right.
Like when you change, have you ever changed the string on an early ball volume? No. You will throw it across the room.
You know what I do? I just throw it in the trash can. And like I have spares in that drawer over there. Right, right. And when it goes, I just put it in the trash can and I put another one on the board.
Yeah.
I buy them like three at a time.
Yeah.
Because
they
just die.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
All volume pedals are awful.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Okay, so we're in overdrive land.
Yeah, we're in
overdrive. You've got a whole array of them.
Somewhere we hit the tuner, but that's neither here nor there. There's an RC booster, which is such a staple in this town. And I use it mostly, mostly for like if I've got a single coil and I need to fatten it up a little bit. Like I like the rhythm sound, but when the hook comes around, I'm going to be single notes and I just need a little more juice for just that one moment. I'll step on this and then I'll turn it off. Or like if I want the strat to just be fatter overall, I'll use that pedal like that. But also you can crank the gain and it does kind of a cool tweety small amp sort of breakup simulator. It sounds like this.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Just like,
but you can see why people leave them on all the time. There are some dudes that just leave those on.
I would rather turn the amp up than have an always on pedal, right?
It always seems a little silly to me.
And I have the luxury of doing that here. But like if I'm in the zone where I'm just playing in a combo amp and I can't, if it's in another room, I can't really get to it.
Sure.
This stuff comes into play a lot more. From the RC, we hit the light speed, which is another sort of low gain overdrive. Yeah. But it has a top end that I like. Like, if I was going to hit this one to fatten something up, I'm going to hit this one if I wanted to have a little bit of a chime and seem a little more expensive. You can just hear the top end open up just a little bit, and it sits a little forward. And that's really, that pedal stays set almost like that all the time. I might crank the drive depending on the amp. And then from here, we hit the most torsion, which everyone knows about. And I bought it after years and years again of calling Rob and being like, man, how do I get just like a straight up this kind of sound? He'd be like, try the most torsion. I'd be like, what else you got?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just, no, I'm not going to try that pedal because everybody plays that.
Everybody's got them.
And then I finally went, okay, fine, I'll buy one. And then I plugged it in and went, now I'm going to buy two more.
Right.
I need to have them everywhere.
Yeah.
It's such a, I'm trying to get over that little contrarian part of me.
Maybe that's your superpower, man.
Maybe so.
Maybe that's where all your cool shit comes from.
Right, yeah, I have found some things. Yeah.
Great. How could you not love that?
I know. If you're just listening with your ears and not with your brain, not with your contrarian brain.
Sure.
From there, it's the King of Tone, which is another. I waited 7 years for that pedal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got on the waiting list and forgot about it.
Oh.
and then 7 years, almost to the day, went by.
Oh, really?
And I got the email, and I was like, And so
Do I still want it?
Well, sure. I did. Yeah, I did. And I sent him an email, the only time in my whole life where I've ever gone, man, I might see if I can leverage my job, because I really would like to have one on each pedal board.
Yeah.
And so the email came. It's like, it's your turn. Here's how you do it. And I replied, and I said, hey, I don't want anything for free. I don't want a discount. I just want to know if I can buy two. Like, can I just buy two? Because I got a road, I got this cartridge board, and I got a board at home, and I would love to have one on each. And I got a reply almost immediately. It was like, thank you for loving this pedal so much. And it's one per person. It just did not, it did not work at all.
Yeah.
So I have the one, and I'm thinking I might get back on the list. Yeah, and just see what happens.
You'll still be a young man.
It'll be 15 years.
Yeah, you'll still be a young man when they make that thing.
It'll be 15 years by then.
Yeah.
We all know what this pedal does, yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it, though. Is there one side you like better than the other?
I trend towards, and this is dead stock. It's just how it came.
Yeah.
I played with the dip switches. I like them how they are.
Yeah.
It's not the high-gain version. It's just the regular old, however they come. I trend towards this the boost side.
That's great.
Especially with a Telebridge pickup or with a Strat, it sort of rounds off some of the high end in a very musical way that I appreciate. I also will use the red side for slide. Like that's a great slide sound. And then I will use them both for a solo here and there. Solo tones are funny. It's like two or three pedals a lot of times if you really have to have something that sings.
Sure.
It's like I like these three or I like these. You know, I kind of go in groups for
okay, yeah. So on soloing, do you find yourself doubling up on overdrives and boosts?
Dude, everything has an it depends answer.
Yeah.
If I just crank this Marshall, then it's one pedal, right? It's either this Klon or I've got a Tube Screamer over there. And both of those just sort of push the mids, roll off the low end a little bit, add a touch of gain, but it's more about pushing the front end so that it sustains a little bit. If I'm in a zone where I want to put a bunch of reverb and delay on it, I'll actually clean the amp up uncomfortably clean for me, and then I get into the zone of most distortion, light speed, Klon, and then the sauce on the back end, and that sort of has a similar effect. I have this Klon in front of all the other ones, so it pushes, so it kind of does that same sort of like if I push the front, there's some sustain.
Yeah.
But it really depends. It depends on what, like, can I ask the engineer to put reverb and delay on it? Then I'm going to turn the amp up and do a pedal. But if I'm like, if we're moving, I'm going to do it the other way. It just depends. Depends on the day. Depends on how fast we're going. From the King of Tone, we had a Rat.
Sure.
And it just sounds like a Rat.
Yeah.
Probably my least used overdrive pedal.
They have a thing.
They do have a thing. And it's when it's right, it's really right. Great pedal.
Yeah, it sounds great.
That was, when I bought that 335, that was thrown in to the deal.
How nice. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
He's probably got 50 of them.
I had a big box reissue, and that, of course, kind of blew it out of the water.
Yeah.
That one's from the mid-80s somewhere. Okay, we're exiting gain stage land.
Okay, good. Getting into the secret sauce.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the EQ.
We hit the EQ.
So did the XCS guys mess that EQ? Is it just straight?
No, that is straight up stock.
Yeah.
And
they've got a mod that is very popular.
Mm-hmm.
I've not done it, but I see it a lot.
It is popular. I actually like the expanded range of the unmodded one because they sort of like give you more frequencies, but it's in a more concentrated range.
Oh, is that that's what it is? Huh?
Yeah, and so you kind of like lose the 100 and the 6.4, and you kind of narrow in the. So it's a more about a more dialed in mid range shape, and I like to, you know, like sometimes if you want to fit something in the track, if you just nuke the 100 and the 6.4, it just kind of gets focused. Like I'll do that with a baritone.
Yeah,
maybe bump a little 800 or, you know, like my
I like to bump 400 and 100, which sounds crazy. If I'm playing a fairly clean up high, like the mid boost on those old Tyler Strats, if you read the literature about them, it's way lower. It's really? like in the hundreds.
Oh, really?
And so
not even really MIDI.
Not that MIDI. It's like low. And I don't really fuck with 200 all that much. I don't love turning that up.
Yeah.
But pushing 100, pushing 400, it just sort of fattens up if you're up high. There are so many things that you can do with this.
Oh, God, you can get so weird with those.
And even to the point where I was like, okay, everybody's using a Boss EQ. What if I use the MXR one? What if I use, like, I just bought a bunch of other graphic EQs, and none of them sound like this.
Yeah.
Like, cranking the 800 on another one. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's the curve or what else is involved, but I was like, okay, fine, I'll just buy the, fine, I'll just buy the Boss one.
Yeah, that's interesting, because 800 is 800.
800 is 800, but it's like, it doesn't do that sort of like telephone AM radio sort of, I don't know. I landed here after a long time of trying not to land there.
That's cool to hear, because I've always wondered about that mod, and I felt like maybe I should just do it.
You should, but I think it's worth probably having both.
Yeah.
And there are a couple frequencies that you lose that I actually like to have access to. So I keep it unmodded. From there, we have the volume pedal, which we hate, but they're necessary.
Yeah. So anything, just a straight Ernie Ball?
Straight up Ernie Ball. And I literally, a couple months ago, threw one in the trash can behind Starstruck.
Yeah,
and I just put another one on.
You know, at one point I sent like three of them to Ernie Ball, and they did it.
Yeah.
They were kind enough to put the string on it.
Somebody here does that. I think maybe Justin Butler does like he'll sort of like bulletproof them.
Yeah.
But the pots are still the pots.
Yeah.
The pots go for me before the strings go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they just get dirty.
Yeah.
You can hear them, or you roll down and they don't cut off all the way. It's a nightmare.
Well, see, that's it. The pot will go, but you can live with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the string goes,
you can live with it unless it's like a real gentle thing and you go like this and you hear,
oh God,
like your volume swelling.
It's like, so embarrassing.
That's out, yeah. And then it's time to go to the drawer and get a new one.
Yeah.
Are
we into vibrato, tremolo, weird sounds?
Yeah, we're into quasi-weird sounds. All the real weird sounds are in the drawer over there.
Oh, good.
I don't keep them on the board because I feel like it's a lot of real estate for something I'm not going to use that often.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to be tempted to sort of like play the sound instead of play the part
a
little bit.
Yeah.
So
I've
sort of like banished the pogs and those sorts of things are over in the drawer.
Lead me not into temptation.
Should I need them, they're available. A Waza Craft VB2. A sound that you have
to have. That's that thing.
I think we hit this M9 maybe after.
Sure.
And that is primarily.
Yeah, what sounds are you go to on the M9?
I will do a lot of delay and reverb out of this, and I still favor it purely because I have it set to autosave. So I turn something on, I get the delay that we like, we finish take number one, I've moved on. I will turn on a new delay sound if I'm going to use delay on both tracks. And then if they go, hey guys, we want to do a stop at the end of the second chorus.
You're right there.
It's still there.
Yeah. That's great.
And I don't have to get into a menu, and I don't have to, like, I got the HX effects and it's got those touch sensitive switches, and I'd be turning a knob and I'd hit the button and then I'm turning a new parameter.
Oh.
And it's like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't think about that. I need to not think about it. I want to be able to look at that pedal and know how it's going to sound before I turn it on.
So there's a mod, some guys, is that straight on
this? This one's straight up. I have a couple of the JVH3 modded ones.
I like, Chris, you keep him straight.
I don't, I mean, it's like sometimes I care and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
And
I don't hear enough of a difference to care, but I will say that if he would do one that didn't have the master volume, I'd probably like it more.
Okay.
I don't even know if he still does it. Oh, but no. The ones that I have a master volume, and I hate that master volume is always active. So, like, even if the pedal's not on and that master volume gets bumped.
Oh, really?
Your signal to the amp is lower than it's supposed to be, and you're going, what's going on? How come it doesn't sound right?
Yeah, chasing down.
Figure out, yeah.
Don't you hate like when you're chasing it down, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I was fine a minute ago.
Yep. And it's not to say that the modded one doesn't sound better. It probably does. But, like, in the land of troubleshooting, that's an extra thing I don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
What's in here? There's a spring reverb, just a super...
Oh, yeah. That's great.
And if you crank, that's the 63 spring.
Very springy.
If you crank the pre-delay on it, that's where the sort of boing... Oh, cool. Flutter is. You got to crank it.
Yeah.
And crank the tone.
Oh, that's cool.
A plate reverb. Yeah, short plate. A slapback.
Yeah. Cool.
Just an analog delay. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I will stack two delays.
Sure.
Right.
Get all edgy on them.
Yeah. And so this, like, I have this one set in front of the Brigadier, so I get the tempo here, and then I can tap and do the subdivisions. And so I end up... It's just a good...
Yeah, that's...
Two delays is better than one delay.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. What else is in here? Pitch vibrato set as a chorus.
Oh, that's a clever one.
That's a good. Just sort of backed the mix down one day and went, that's a good chorus.
That's cool.
And then the boost comp, which is not going to sound good.
What do you want?
With this guitar. Let me have that Strat.
Which?
The pink.
Pinky?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll come right back.
Yeah. Take that.
Do you know about the boost comp and the M9?
No.
It's sort of crank the output, turn the drive down low. And if you're playing like just sort of a clean sort of springy chord, if you turn this on, you can
suddenly it sounds like a record.
Yeah, you can hear it doing that sort of thing. Yeah. And then if there's a little bit of like, that's just a good sort of, like, affected compressor that I wouldn't use that often, but I guess I was using it recently.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take... Let me have a Tele.
All right, so what's next, Chris? What are we looking at?
I think I actually skipped the Mobius.
Yes, you did. I want to hear all about that.
And the Mobius sort of functions as a primary modulation zone, a nice rotary speaker. Great. I've got it set to be slow and fast with the switch.
So just one pop and it'll go between.
One pop and it'll motor between slow and fast.
And ramps up.
Mm-hmm. And you can tweak the ramp. You know, that's as tweakable as I want to do in an environment like this, but I just kind of have it saved. It's got a great phaser.
Oh, yeah, man. I can just see that little orange box right there.
Yeah, I have a late 70s Phase 90 at the house, and I spent time sort of going back and forth, the regen and the dirt and all that.
Sure.
And it's...
Yeah, man.
That's good.
I
can accept that phaser.
Yeah.
Let's see. We did the Brigadier. We talked about a little bit, which I just think is a great delay pedal.
Boy, you see a lot of them.
A lot of people don't know that this mod knob, the first half of the knob is chorus, and then past 12, it's vibrato.
Really?
Uh-huh. Which...
Where do you like to live?
I'm a vibrato dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
like
judging from that,
yeah,
vibrato.
Like a lot of... I had so many big box memory men scattered all over the house, and it's like they break and they're noisy and yeah, they don't work and they take up space, and so I just decided to live there.
Yeah, that's great.
And I've got it set a little darker right now, but that's a hell of a delay pedal. This tremolo is just exactly what everyone thinks it is. And I can set it without hearing it.
Yeah.
I just twist a couple knobs and know where I am.
Yeah.
And then the Supermoon.
So what is the Supermoon?
The Supermoon is a reverb that can get... Here's how I have it set right now. But dude, it'll go. So if you want to have like a reverb throw at the end of a song,
yeah,
or something,
give that.
As I understand it, every single color and version of the Supermoon is different.
Huh.
Some are darker, some are... This one will go full wet, so like you could run a mix through it, or like, wow, like some of them only go 50-50. Like they're all different for whatever reason. I like the silver one. That's a really good pedal, and then it's a really good, like, you can get the whole... Get all the juice going. A couple of mods and a couple of delays and a Supermoon and...
Yeah, forget about it.
You're making history.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole enchilada. John.
Yeah. Well, Chris, man, it is such a pleasure to meet you and see all your guys. You sound great.
Oh, man, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah
you for having
love
me.
Love it, man. Yeah. And have fun. By the way, he's going to Abbey Road.
That's right.
So how cool is... What a cool way to end an interview. Sorry, I got to go to Abbey Road.
Sorry.
No, yeah.
Thanks for fitting me in. I got to fly.
Yeah, I got to fly to London. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, enjoyed
dude
it, all
thank
of us.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, see you around.
Okay, see you guys.